You know, we love any excuse to watch great reality TV. So, with the weather heating up, while chartering a luxury yacht might be a little out of reach, we can still get our fix by binge watching all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck available on Hayu.
The first all-reality subscription service of its kind, Hayu gives you access to every episode and every season of a wide range of captivating reality TV franchises. Plus, you can watch brand new episodes available the same day they air in the U.S. without ads. It's pretty awesome.
And if you're looking for a new series to dive into, Below Deck is the perfect choice. Tune in for a fresh yachty drama on brand new episodes of Below Deck Mediterranean, airing now. And once you're hooked, revisit classic seasons of all the franchises, including Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Adventure, and Down Under, all available on Hayu.
You know that we've watched every single episode of Below Deck. We have not only watched them, we've talked about them endlessly. We obsess over them.
Below Deck is so good, and it is such an amazing source of petty drama. If you're not watching it, you're really missing out.
Slide into summer with Below Deck. New episodes airing now.
Watch all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck on Hayu. That's HAYU.com.
Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat. Once upon a beat,
join me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, for a weekly jam-packed party as we remix and reimagine classic stories for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Once Upon a Beat is a new kids and family podcast from Wondery and Tinkercast, where hip-hop and fables meet. Listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
Well, hello. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Welcome home. Welcome back to Merca, Ben.
You too. Guys, you too, Ronnie.
We just...
It's good to see you.
...jet-setted and took a trip of a lifetime for a European tour. And we just got back a couple of days ago. Still jet-lagged. I woke up at 3:30 in the morning today, and I went and exercised.
Me too.
Because in Italy, everything is uphills and stairs and walking. And guess what? I did it. And now I woke up and I'm like, I'm going to walk some more. What about that? So thanks,
Good for
Italy.
You. Good for you. That's great. I woke up also around 3:15. And then I sort of laid in bed for a while. And I finally went back to sleep and then woke up again. It was a spotty night of sleep. But you know what? I'm going to push through because if anything, I'm someone who pushes through. That's what I am. I'm an American hero, basically.
We have an incredible day ahead of us because we are catching up with what we missed last week on Bravo, which is the Summer House reunion and the Valley finale. And we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New Jersey. Well, it's tomorrow. So we have a really fun day ahead of us today. A lot of screaming and yelling because it's a reunion episode. But it's not a Housewives reunion episode. This is a Summer House reunion episode, which is where the men come in and try and act like the little babies that they are, little victims. Every single one of them is just a victim, everybody. So I'm glad you're here for this. So they're not screamy. They're just extremely passive-aggressive wusses. And so that should be fun. Do you want to start with anything, Ben? Anything you've got on the top of your mind?
I do. I just wanted to finish my thought really quickly about New Jersey, just as a heads up to everyone. Oh. We're not going to recap last week's New Jersey. We're not recapping last week's New Jersey. We're just going to dive back in tomorrow. In terms of Summer House thoughts, well, congratulations, Ronnie. You called it. You said it.
Whatever.
You said about West. You called it. Now, I will say, I think you deserve a lot of credit. I mean, we all knew he was eventually going to be a fuckboy because it's Summer House. I personally was surprised that it happened this quickly. I thought it was not going to be until next season that we got into it. But, like, the shoe really dropped. I have to say, you know, you've really fucked up. You've really fucked up when the breakup of 2024 on Bravo, last year was Scandoball, this year's Carl and Lindsay. We finally have a reunion. They come face to face. There's already so much bullshit spewing between the two of them. And yet all anyone wants to talk about is how Wes treated Sierra. That's how you know you really messed up.
Isn't it crazy to watch the internet turn like that overnight? I mean,
overnight.
Just crazy. They are going crazy after this fucking guy. And I was actually feeling bad for him for a second because really in the scheme of things, I mean, he did tell us all what he was doing. I mean, listen, I'd love to take credit. I love when people say, Ronnie, you're right. So it was a great week for that. I'd like to thank everybody who took the time to comment that because, you know, I love it.
It was, yeah.
It's my favorite thing to hear and I don't get to hear it that much. But I do want to say it is luck and I'm not some oracle. I'm not magical. He literally told us, you guys, I Maya Angelou'd that shit. He was saying it right from the beginning. Listen, it's like they said on Sex and the City. There was a whole book spun off of that when Miranda was listening to that lady complain next to her on the steps to the fucking museum or whatever. And she just turned to her and said, he's not that into you. He's not that into you. That's all this guy has been saying this whole time. He's a noncommittal fucking child, okay? That's what I don't understand. It's not like I solved some fucking mystery. The guy literally said it, but we just want to believe it. It's like, and I get it, you know? It's why I eat so much, you know, gelato, because it's not called ice cream, and I think that it's going to make me thinner. I know it's not going to make me thinner, okay? Like, there's part of me that know. I just want to believe. And I think that that's where everybody was with West. They just wanted to believe that there's this new, fresh, non-tarnished Bravo man. Well, sorry, you know.
But also, I have to believe that Bravo intentionally, you know, they built him up to make him look as wonderful and as great as we could imagine. There was even a New York Times article that came out about this guy. This happened, I think, when we were in Europe. A New York Times profile on this guy. But before we left, remember one of our friends sent us in that clip where the closed captioning was different than the video. And the closed captioning indicated that the original thing that Wes was saying on the interview was that, like, yes, he had been sleeping with other women, but he didn't, like, it was something to that effect, or it seemed to indicate that. But the actual clip that aired was was a totally different thing. And in my mind, my new conspiracy theory is they wanted to give West a really nice edit, knowing that it was all going to come crashing down at the reunion, because that was what was going to make people talk more. And like, look, everyone is talking about it. It's like it's the biggest thing. So I think Bravo intentionally made him look as good as possible, just that way they could engineer a downfall.
Yeah, well, they're TV producers, so there you have it. They did a good job, whatever they did. But yeah, I felt bad for a second because people have just been going nuts on this guy. And in the scheme of things, as far as I could see, he didn't really lie. I mean, he basically said, I'm not going to commit to you. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to invite you to see my parents. I'm never going to call you my girlfriend. And you have no shot in hell. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me that he was saying. Of course, I'm old. And so I've been through this guy many, many times. I've fallen for this guy so many fucking times in my life. I've been this guy in my life, actually, where you just are with somebody and you're like, I mean, I like you, but like, there's nothing that's going to make me suddenly fall in love with you. I mean, it is what it is. We're like hanging out. We like each other. Like, what do you want from me? I'm being honest with you. I mean, I've been that guy too. So, you know, anyway, I felt kind of bad for him, but then I did not when I saw clips of him. Well, I didn't feel bad for him when I saw clips of him like standing on tables with girls, fans like surrounding him, filming him on the phone. And he's just like slow, sexy dancing and like feeling himself. And I'm like, fuck this guy. Fuck this trashy guy. You know?
Yeah.
I don't feel bad.
Yeah. My feeling is basically, my feeling is that like, yeah, he was very upfront with the fact that he is afraid of commitment and that usually at a certain point of relationship, he self-sabotages or just goes away or whatever. He was very like upfront and aware about it, which, by the way, it's like, that's fine to be aware about it. What are you going to actually do about it at this point? Because it's
right, it does old really quickly.
It probably already has gotten old. Yeah. But also, like, when Sierra's like, I want to know, are we going down a serious place or not? And he's like, no, yeah, I really do like you. And he brings her out to meet the family and to this place and holidays, whatever. And then it's like, oh no, I'm like overwhelmed. I can't do this. That's where it's really annoying. that's where it's, because like you had ways out, and she even says it, we'll get into it, but like you had many exit ramps, and yet you still decided to drive the, you know, the car into the Grand Canyon anyway. And it's like why did you do that? And like what sucks is
Ben driving the car into the Grand Canyon. Okay, that was Thelma and Louise taking a stand. So let's
not, I wasn't talking about their car. I was talking about just some bad driver on the highway.
Oh. I was like, let's not take a feminist iconic moment and give it to this.
No, I'm just talking about a Toyota. It's just a Toyota.
Like a Corolla, literally just down the hill up the Grand Canyon.
It was like a Corolla that could have gotten off at the Super 8 and instead just drove into the Grand Canyon. But honestly, though, like what's annoying is that now this is going to make Sierra be like, okay, she'll probably be even more like, before we do anything, I want a commitment. And then in the society that we live in, it's like, oh, look at that crazy woman. She just wants a commitment. You know, that's the thing with women. They're so not carefree. They always want a commitment. They always want to lock it down so quickly. But it's like, but look at what women have to deal with. Look at that. That's bullshit. Like, you know, and of course you could, it's, you know, in gay relationships, it's there too. Yada, yada, yada. But like, that's,
men,
like,
because it's men. You're like, dealing with men. That's why.
Men fucking suck.
But it's also kind of what we open it up to. And I think, and I can't speak for women, obviously, because I'm not in that world. But for gay men, I can say, I feel like we open ourselves up to that by having hookup culture. That's all we have is hookup, hookup, hookup. And so when you want something else, like, it's hard for me to even combine the two things. Like, it's hard for me to even hook up with somebody I like, because I'm not used to meshing those things together. Like, I'm literally so fucked up from the way that gay culture has trained my brain. And I know that it's not everybody, you guys. You have to remember, I'm like of a certain age. I came up in a very conservative, whatever. I'm not saying it's everybody. I'm saying that me in gay culture, that's how it's been for me. And so I think that one of the things I really respected about Sierra is drawing that boundary that's like, listen, it's not always hookup culture. It's not always about fucking to every single person. Like, some of us still do want a relationship. Like, we need that in order to do the sex stuff, you know? And I really like that. And I feel like she had an out as well at that horse date, because that was when it was solidified. I mean, I'd been saying it the whole season, and just because of what he was saying, you know, saying like, this is not the guy, this guy's a fuckboy. But that was the day that I was like, no, this is official. This guy's the worst. Like, don't watch Dancer Ahead. And I think she knew too. And I think that one of the saddest parts of watching it was that we all saw that she knew at that point, and decided to believe in what could be. And you never ever believe in what could be, because
don't have dreams, people.
Not when it comes to other people. You can't make a vision of somebody and then believe in that vision. You have to believe whatever's in front of you. And this guy is a floppy headed little idiot. He's not that good looking. His mustache is too long. And maybe you guys will come on my side with that now too. The man doesn't even trim his goddamn mustache. He doesn't have a respect for kissing you. The man has 18-year-old or 17-year-old high school boy hair. And he pouts all the time and wears bass. Mm-hmm. So get the fuck out of here with this fucking guy. We all should have known. And I feel really bad for Sierra, because I saw in that episode that she did know, and she chose to believe in something that she knew wasn't there. She fucking knew it wasn't there. She knew it. But
I think people are allowed to hope for the best. And I think that, like, when you have someone who is as charming as West, it's like, it sucks. It sucks if, like, you have to go through, because of the Austins and the West of the world, that you have to, like, go through life when someone is actually being, like, sweet and lovely, that you have to just not believe them. Like, that sucks. Like, you should be allowed the privilege of believing someone when they say their best intentions.
But he didn't say that. He said, I don't have commitment. I don't have this. And when she said, but why is it okay for you to tell everybody that you love them? When you tell everybody you love them, it makes it less important to me. The way she laid that out for him, I thought was so beautiful. And he was just like, it's no big deal.
But you know what, though? He invited her to, like, they did go to meet his family. And, like, that's an action. And, like, one could say, like, oh, he put his money where his mouth is. They did go see the family. They did do things. And I think it's reasonable to believe, like, okay, he actually has expressed some intention in this. They had sex. He didn't immediately ghost her. It seemed like that still kept on going for, like, 3 more months. So she had a reasonable expectation that this was actually a fairly committed situation. And so, like, it just sucks. It sucks.
It does.
It's going to jade her more. Like, it just, like, she's going to say now with every future person, it's like, no, I still, like, you know, I, like, you can't just believe people when they say they just want to do nice things for you.
Well, you can't believe them. I mean, look, and this is the thing. It's not victim blaming. I'm not like, she deserved it. She saw it. I'm saying she had the instinct. And I think that she showed us on TV that she saw it and she chose to believe in this person. And look, when you say we have the right to believe, of course we have the right to believe. But if you see someone coughing, move the fuck away from them. What are you going to see somebody coughing and then go eat your lunch next to them? No, I don't want your fucking germs and shit after the 4 years we just went through. It doesn't mean you're a bad person for having COVID or whatever you whatever you have, but have it over there. Don't get it all over me. And if you know you have it and you're still coughing all over me anyway and not wearing your mask or whatever, go fuck yourself. And that's what I say. To him, you know, because that is what it's like. He knows that this is his thing that he's about to inflict on somebody, and he goes out in public and he coughs all over everybody anyway.
He coughs his fuckboy COVID onto people instead of being responsible and putting a mask on. I have to say, though, like, I think that, you know, for West, he did learn what it's like when someone makes a promise and welches on it, because I'm sure his stylist said, don't worry, I'm going to make you look really good for this reunion. And then he showed up looking like that. So, you know, now he knows what it's like to be burned.
How can someone who's blessed with that much? Listen, bald people, do you know how hard it is for us in this life? Do you know what we'd go through? And you're blessed with this beautiful head of hair. And this is what you do. Like, you consistently fuck everybody around you over with this haircut. That's all I'd like to say again. You know,
well, he went from the broccoli hair to like the middle part. The middle part looks actually worse.
Where it's really long.
The middle part looks worse. And he's wearing this oversized like cream or beige suit, which I don't know if that's in style or not, but to me it did not look right on him. This did not look like him. This looked like someone had a vision. He looked so out of his depth. He was just in this oversized suit. He looked like he was at the end of the movie Big, and nothing, like, he looked terrified, he looked scared, he had the middle part going on. It was a full flop. And that's pretty bad, because you also had Danielle that's there. Danielle, who literally is the CEO and founder of a startup that tells
you
what to wear.
That was very nice of you
and
to say that.
She's the CEO and founder of something called Don or Donnie. Someone came up to us at one of our live shows in London and said, by the way, my friend works on her app and says that everyone's freaking out. It's a disaster over there. But she looked like a couch, you know, not to steal from Katie Maloney, who stole from someone else, but she literally looked like she was wearing upholstery. And he still looked worse than that.
Oh my God, Danielle looked like the Great Depression. I mean, what was she doing? What in the world was she doing?
She made like me want prohibition to come back.
Prohibit.
I was like, wait,
everything in Danielle's closet. Okay. Let's keep alcohol, but please stop letting Danielle dress herself.
I know, she normally looks great, and somehow she just emerged with this, like, I don't know, the algorithm on her app went way wrong, and she came out into the stage looking like that. Like, what went wrong, Danielle?
Danielle app is wrong. Just Danielle is wrong. I don't know when Danielle just fritzed out, but that app has not been updated in more than 3 years. I can tell you that right now. It's got one star on the App Store, the Danielle app. It's got to go. They've got to update it or get it the fuck out of the App Store, because it's wasting my life. What is she even doing now? This whole thing with, like,
Danielle,
you're a bad friend for tattletaling on something that I did and let you take the fall for. What the fuck was that? What is this show? I was screaming on the plane watching this show. I was dying.
It was wild. Danielle, ever since, I really think that ever since she got out of her relationship, or once her relationship with Robert started going sour, she really has lost her way. She is sort of like, you know, she is like a bad update on the App Store. She's like when Facebook changed their timeline and everyone got so mad at Facebook. That's what she is. She's like a bad Facebook update.
Oh my God. Well, that's the reason you have to hit following on Instagram. You know, when you can choose how to display your posts. I never knew
like
about
that works.
Up on the top left hand side, the Instagram logo, if you hit that, then a little menu comes down. And if you put following, it'll put the most recent first. Because I feel like every time I open Instagram, it's people like Danielle who are always at the top. And I'm like, why are these people even on my, who are these people? I don't want them here. And so I figured that out. Anyway, crazy episode. Let's get into it because...
I know we should probably start actually recapping it now that we're 20 minutes into it. But like, it was a thing. And like, honestly, I've been waiting for this moment for several days because waking up on Friday or later, we were ahead of this airing. And so it was like around, what was it? Like there was some point where like all of a sudden everyone just all of Instagram started talking about this reunion. And I was like, oh my God, something happened on Summer House. I can't wait to see it. Yes. But now we're here. And you know, it's traditional opening, 5:32 a.m., people arriving at the reunion taping. Lindsay arrives. Music's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. She's like, today is going to be a day.
So, Danielle, you know, everybody's just getting ready. You know, we see Jesse arrive, and it's so funny because he walks in the dressing room, and he's like, wow, I'm going to get to hang out with the guys all day. This is going to be so amazing. Day with the boys, best day ever, right, guys? I was like, oh, you wait, sucker. Say goodbye to innocence because this is your first reunion. You're about to have five assholes when you walk out.
Yeah, you know that Jesse was like, wow, you know, West and I, people love us. The best casting choices in like 5 years. It's going to be smooth sailing today.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to say something that has bugged me about something that I said. I think on our last Summer House recap, I said that they have not cast like they have not had any success casting men on Summer House since like the first season. How could I overlook poor Luke from Minnesota? I apologize to all the Luke heads out there who felt like they were not heard. I'm sorry.
My name is Luke.
All the coyotes.
I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Have you ever had a hot dish before?
Coyote. And Andrea, I feel like, does not count because he was cast on Winter House, not on Summer House. So people
Andrea
are arriving.
Looks super weird now that he's married, right? He's really changed. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he started
getting Woody Woodpecker-ish. Yeah.
I don't know if he got more sun, if he's just more leathery. I don't really know what it is, but he looks a lot different. Happiness looks odd on him. But congratulations to him. That was really rude. So sorry to start it off like that. But congratulations to him for getting married. That's so cool. I'm glad he found his love. See, there's a man. There are men on Bravo who do just want love. That's all that guy wanted. He's like, I want the man to bring home to my mama.
He has actually defied expectations because we pegged him as a fuckboy from the very beginning. And it felt like what he was doing was fuckboy behavior. But ultimately, he kind of wasn't. He was like pined after Lexi.
Yeah, but
he was.
Lexi
at one point,
stood up to him. Remember? Got him. And then he was like, oh, yeah. But Lexi left me because I was a fuckboy. Lexi, come back for me. So, yeah, he was the dream. He's what happens when you confront you lay boundaries for these fuckwits. And it actually worked on him.
Yeah, he literally left Summer House. I have to imagine that, like, I don't think he was fired. I think everyone's always liked Andrea. So I feel like he gave it all up for Lexi and it worked. I mean, like, it's a success story so far.
Yeah.
So good for them.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Peyton, it's happening. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions,
if you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second,
then join me, Hunter Harris.
And me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Carl comes and the music is like, dun, 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 dun. You look great, by the way. You look great, by the way. Dun, 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 dun. And it cuts.
I'm a little overwhelmed.
It cuts to, hi, I'm just here looking for a little softness and tenderness. Hope you guys have some to spare.
Softness and tenderness. Yeah, so he's arriving, and then Gabby and Lindsay are doing their makeup and everything, and they're just talking about, like, you know, Lindsay's like, yeah, I don't really like looking at Carl, like, with emotion. He's just like, buddy in the room. Walls.
And Gabby...
really not very soft and tender.
Oh, whoa.
To say that.
Well, I'm not just a body. I'm a body in white jeans. So, let's have some respect.
I'm not just a body. I'm a member of Paris Boot Camp, okay?
Gabby is really overdoing this Lindsay fangirl thing. I don't like it. I think Gabby deserves better than just being a lackey. And it's bothering me at this point. She's like, Linz, how do you feel, Linz? This is going to be like the first time since BravoCon, since you've seen Carl. How do you feel, Lindsay? Oh my God, Lindsay, tell us everything. Be quiet. Like, do your own thing. This is too much. I think Gabby's too good to be standing somebody. Like, she's better than to be the Danielle part two. I don't like it. I don't like it for her.
Yeah. Gabby kind of got lost in the mix this season, I feel like. She had, like, one moment with the balloon guy, but she kind of was, yeah, she didn't really have a presence. I felt like she was going to be, I thought there was going to be more for her. But, you know, it's hard. There's a lot going on this season. It's hard for everyone to have a story, I guess.
Yeah.
So now Carl's in the dressing room, and the producer's like, so how'd you prepare for today, Carl? He's like, well, I've been preparing for, like, I feel like the last 8 months, honestly, and, like, just, like, trying to do, like, a lot of work. I mean, not, like, working, but, like, doing the work.
Except, that working, like, actual, you know? Work. Yeah, I don't do that. Did you like that he told, like, on himself here when he said, well, I've been preparing for, like, the last month, 8 months, actually. Yeah. Yeah, you sure have, Carl. You sure fucking have. You've been laying this groundwork for a very long time, sir. And you're still failing, loser!
No, but I'm, like, trying to, like, clean up my side of the street. Huh. Which, like, I'm not actually getting paid for that. It's more like an internship for the sanitation department. Huh. Cleaning it up. And, I mean, look, like, listen, this isn't all on her. It's, like, mostly on her. It's, like, but it's also not all on me. It's really, it's basically on her, but, like, a little bit on me. Like, really all on her, though. And I just feel like we both were responsible for a lot of this. Mainly her, yeah.
I mean, basically, she's responsible for being a monster, and I'm responsible for opening my dating life to things that are under my bed. So, you know, it's kind of my fault.
Listen. You know what? It takes two to tango, as I like to say. It takes two to give a really hard hug. So, excuse me.
Terrorism takes harder. At least two people. Harder. One person to be the terrorist and one person to get bombed. And I'm the person that got bombed. So, you know, terrorism takes two. Thanks for asking.
So, so Lindsay's like, yeah, I think he told, like, a lot of lies. And I think, like, it's pretty obvious how much he was, like, laying the groundwork and planting the seeds to villainize me. And Gabby's like, I hope he's shitting his pants right now, actually. I'm like, I actually hope he's not, just because they're, like, very white. And I think we'd see too much of that.
So then back to Carl, he's like, oh, there's, like, things that have been happening since we've broken up that just, like, aren't true. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear them because it turns out they came from your fucking mouth, by the way. He's like, and, you know, like, I'm struggling to, like, navigate it, you know, and it's, like, takes two to navigate, you know, like, I'm driving the car, and then Lindsay's grabbing the steering wheel, and she's, like, moving it all over the road until I crash into something, and then I have to clean up my side of the street. So, yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
And I really feel like I made the right decision, and I hope that like someday, like maybe she'll realize that was like the best decision for her too. But like, you know, it'll take a while because like monsters don't often have a lot of self-reflection. Oh, that's why they're monsters.
Here's Carl telling on himself again. Just want to submit into evidence that Carl just said, I feel like I made the right decision, and I hope one day she realizes that I made the right decision too, because he's going to spend the rest of this hour trying to gaslight us all into thinking that he never broke up with Lindsay in the first place. That this whole thing is in Lindsay's head and she's the one who broke up with him because she took it the wrong way. So just in case anybody fell for that load of horse shit, there you go.
Yeah. I also just want, you know, like, really, like, what Carl should just do is just stand in his truth, which is like, you know what? We obviously weren't looking. You saw it on TV, and I realized, and I said, I don't want to do this anymore, and I don't see what's so wrong with that. If he just, like, almost says that, I think we'd be like, well, kind of can't argue with that. But say it's like, yeah, well, you know, it's both of us, and, like, we both had issues, and, like, I don't know, it was, like, hard, and I keep my side street clean, and, like, I don't know, but I've been, like, not forgetting to do it. It's like, shut up, just say it was not working. I was miserable.
Well, and that's the thing.
Just saying,
that's,
you know?
This is like typical Carl obfuscation where he's trying to trick us. No one thinks you should have been together, first of all, ever. No one ever thought it was a good idea. Last year when you guys were doing your fake and bake relationship and you're babe, 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 we all knew this was trash. You're both trash. You shouldn't be together. Okay? We all knew it. So no one is mad at you for breaking up. Everybody is so happy that you actually broke up because you should not be together, okay? You're emotional terrorists, the both of you. The problem is that you're such a fucking liar and you can't just be a stand-up person and say what you're feeling. You have to try and trick it to make somebody else look like shit the whole time. You can't, and you've done, it's not just with Lindsay. You do it with Kyle. You do it with everybody you've ever dated on this show. You're just terrible. It's like, stop fucking over other people. It's like he's getting some sick pleasure from like making everybody think a certain way about someone. We already know Lindsay's crazy. You're the one who's dating her. Get rid of it. No one thought you should be together. It's just how you go about it.
Yeah.
You fucking fuckwit jackass Carl. Falling for this shit.
So now Wes is arriving and he's got his little eye mask things on. And he's like, why? He's like, this feels like a pregame tunnel, you know, right before the championship game, you know? Right? I'm like, yeah, a championship game that you're about to lose miserably.
We get it. Yeah. And we get it. You like sports. That's your thing. We get
game it. Game 7, New York Knicks versus the Rockets, 1994. That's what you're walking into. Not saying I'm traumatized, but... And you're John Starks. I'm just trying to speak West language.
Yeah, I don't really speak that language. Sports. But I just, every minute, he's like, yeah, I'm into sports. We get it. Have fun scratching your nuts with your friends. Okay? Like, just keep it off my TV. So
we're so angry.
I am. Yeah, I am. I don't
we've
care.
Had like a week of not being able to be angry at people.
This is
like,
my joy.
We've had a week of enchantment.
Look at the smile on my face. Do I look angry? This is my joy. I mean, I finally have some, it's like I finally can just let it unleash, you know, and I'm just so happy. It's my hobby being angry. So everybody calm down out there. Oh, and also all the people getting pissed off at me all the time. Yes, I'm Team Lindsay on this. Officially, firmly. And that is my right. And if you think that Carl has been abused, which I'm getting a lot in comments, oh, you stand up for abuser. No, rewatch this and take your fucking blinders off and stop hashtagging boy mom. Okay?
I just want you to know that,
just kidding. No one did that.
The person who apparently is most abused is me, Ronnie, because someone sent me a message saying, like, don't let Ronnie abuse you into agreeing with him. I was like, what? I have been fully of this mindset from the beginning. This was, if you go back to the beginning of the season, I have been fully of the mindset of like, Carl knew what he was getting engaged to. Who he was dating, who he proposed to. This has been on Carl the entire time. I'm sorry. It was tasteless what Lindsay said about like cocaine Carl or you still on whatever, but like I have really been on Lindsay's side this entire time, which is funny because all of last season I was on Danielle's side. But you know what? I feel vindicated about that too.
You do? Yeah, let's not relitigate totally that, right. Please, because we were on different sides of that. I don't want to go fight about that. And we've got enough today. We've got enough. But as far as being totally bullied into thinking season. What I think, I don't care if you agree with me. Listen, I don't care if anybody agrees with me. I don't need you to agree with me. I have more fun when you don't agree with me. Like, that's why half the time I'll say one thing and you'll agree. And then I'll change my opinion immediately just so we disagree. I think it's more fun when we disagree. So whatever.
Well, let's move forward here to the people coming out onto the set. Because then it's just, we have a bunch of stuff of people just backstage being like, oh, you excited about her. So now Andy's coming out onto the set, which is all Italian. It's like that because there was the Italian dinner that happened at one point. So it was pretty much where you were for the past week. It was basically all your photos on Instagram was this set. And Andy's coming out. And this episode was supersized. And you know it was supersized because they had to fill out the time. So I don't understand why they supersized an episode. And then they stretch the content, like just make it a normal hour. But then we have like 10 minutes of people coming out to the set one at a time. And Andy be like, wow, you look great. Love the midriff.
This set didn't make sense to me. It's supposed to be for an iconic episode. The Italy was not an iconic episode. Who cares about the stupid Italy party? It was dumb. Andrea barely did anything in that party. The iconic party was the apocalypse party, and it would have been a lot more fitting for this reunion had it been an apocalypse set.
Totally.
And everyone would have had to come in their apocalypse gear. Now that is how to do this season, because this season ended up being a fucking shit show and the end of the world for some of these people, and it should have been set accordingly.
I think Andy should have shown up dressed like Tina Turner and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. He could have had those big like caterpillar earrings and a giant like mullet kind of thing going on and a chain link dress.
Yeah.
It would have been fabulous.
Guys, I just have one thing to say before we begin this reunion. We don't need another.
She has big earrings and he has a huge fearing of Jewish people. It's Mel Gibson and Tina Turner. Welcome.
Mel Gibson, that anti-Semitism is getting pretty big. When did you get that done? Looks great. Looks great on you.
Well, much like Carl and Lindsay, two people enter, one person leaves this relationship.
You know, everybody comes out looking amazingly hot, and the girls, I mean, they're all showing like midriff.
The girls looked out of control gorgeous.
Yes.
They were beautiful. Their looks looked great. Everything looked great. They looked wonderful.
And Lindsay has been setting. Say it again.
Except for Danielle.
Except for Danielle. Bless her heart. But doesn't you know make, what? It's not what's on the outside. Look. It's what's on the inside that counts. Oh, sorry. That still sucks. Everybody comes out looking gorgeous. And I love that the girls did this because the girls are such shitheads on this show. I mean, the season ended where we were like, oh, my God, the girls are all getting along. No, they still hate Lindsay, especially Paige, because, you know, Paige whips us out at the reunion every year. She's one way in the season. And then she comes and just unleashes hell at the reunion, especially towards Lindsay. And she does it every single time. And I thought, wow, it's going to be weird to have a reunion with Paige not doing that. But Paige was like, fuck it. I'm doing it anyway. And the girls on her side all were like, fuck Lindsay's Ariana season, because Lindsay really has been trying to set this up as a Scandoval moment, which Lynn's, sorry, girl, like, it's not. It's just not the same thing. No one's going to react the same way. You're not. All right.
Right.
They're just not the same. But we all knew that Lindsay was going to come out in a version of that dress. She was going to come out in a midriff revenge dress, just like Ariana did. And she did it. And all the other girls were like, we're all doing that. We're not going to let Lindsay have this moment.
Yeah. Midriff mafia.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see the rumors? I mean, the rumors have been sort of brewing, but now they're really strong that Amanda and Kyle may be Splitsville. Someone on Twitter was pointing out very vociferously that Amanda has scrubbed.
She didn't, though.
All images of Kyle.
She didn't.
She didn't.
No.
I looked and I didn't really see any Kyle on her Instagram.
Whoever's spreading that
is that just the way it always was?
No, I fell into this rabbit hole yesterday too, which I think we were doing the same thing, like lying in our beds in the fetal position, crying and scrolling through Instagram. And I saw that too, but then I followed up on it and no, she didn't. So I don't know what people are talking about. Now, there was a Dumois thing about Kyle cheating and supposedly, well, not cheating this time. This time it was he was sitting in a restaurant
and he was overheard cheersing his friends. They were all, he was giving a toast to finally leaving Amanda, or that relationship being over. And supposedly everybody was like, yeah, but I don't know. I don't believe it. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like they're going to be together forever. I think despite any issues they have, and all issues of which they do have, I think Amanda loves a fixer upper, and I think Kyle loves his youth. So I don't know, somehow they like it works. And not functionally, but like I think they're drawn to each other in their own weird way. I guess we'll find out though, because it is curious timing. I mean, look, it's June 10th. Filming's going to start probably in about 3 weeks. Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be wild this season, because this is the latest that Summer House has ever ended, if I can remember. You know, like, we are in summer, basically, and this show is still happening. So,
I'm going
to be fresh off the reunion stuff.
I don't believe that they're broken up. I don't think that they're going to be together forever. I would give them probably 5 more years. So, what is this, 2024? Yeah. I'll give them to 2029, which actually seems so far away. Oh, my God, I'm going to be so old then. Hold on. Let me just take a moment and stop thinking about that. Okay, brain scrubbed. Back to the show. So
you just Men in Black yourself.
You got to learn to immediately scrub that shit when you watch Bravo enough.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. So everybody's still coming to the set because they take literally 10 minutes. Andy's commenting on everybody's midriffs. And Linz is like, I'm painted it on. Honestly, not going to lie.
Wow, I can't believe she would steal my iconic line. I'm not gonna lie. I painted it on. Not gonna lie.
Oh, Andy, comment on my stomach. Do you like my stomach? Put your weight on me. Oh, that's still mine. Still mine.
Yeah, well, Lindsay and I had a really bad breakup. We divided our assets, and unfortunately, she took Not Gonna Lie. So I will not tell a mistruth and say that I do miss saying Not Gonna Lie.
I mean, look, it takes two to Not Gonna Lie. So... unfortunately, Lindsay stole it from me.
Hey, Andy, can I get a hug? Harder. Squeeze me harder, Andy. Harder. Tighter, Andy.
So Andy's like, so I'm sure that everybody realizes tonight's set was inspired by anybody? No? No one remembers? Okay, lots of lemons. Nobody?
The episode when Dorit made Buco de Beppo. Room from Capri.
No, like Paige is actually based on something you did this year. Try again. Anybody? Lemons? Vespas?
Oh, just be generally awesome and like win back the audience and be the one who probably should have had the article written about her in the New York Times, but instead it was West.
It was another trash man on Bravo. No, but it still is something that you did, Paige.
Let me see. A lemon. Oh, is it Danielle's app?
Oh, you won't get a lemon unless you download Danielle's app. Well, no, this is actually the, remember the Italian party you did like at the very beginning of the season? Remember? No? Okay.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Shimon Yai. And I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So he's like, so by the way, Sierra, I hear you and Madison from Southern Charm are on a billboard in Times Square. She's like, yeah.
For what?
Oh, I don't know. Like, you're not really promoting it.
Please let it be like Bleach, like just to bleach the Austin off. Please.
I know.
Billboard in Times Square for that ad for penicillin. That was pretty exciting for you guys.
So, anyway, Andy, this really goes on for a very long time. Andy just saying hi to everyone. He just says hi for so long. He's like, oh, Jesse Solomon. Oh, I stood up and cheered after your song. And we see the Jesse Solomon song. What would Jesse Solomon do? Which, by the way, I'm officially over that song.
I've always hated
that
song.
I'm just going to say it right now.
Fuck, I heard that song.
I didn't love it to begin with. I thought it was a cute moment. I didn't love it. But then I heard a remix of it, and I was like, okay, this has gone too far.
Oh, yeah, I heard
you
that.
You do not need a remix of the Jesse Solomon song.
No. Yeah, don't encourage him. Andy's like, well, I was in my room standing up applauding for you with my penis in one hand and my other penis. Sorry. That's probably too much. God, you're tall.
Sorry, I, in my memory, there was a clap, 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 but in reality, it was more like a fap, fap, fap.
So then, West, okay, who cares? So then he's talking about Kyle has made a deal on Watch What Happens to cut his mullet, and everyone's clapping and chanting about it, and Paige is like, yeah, he's just so good looking without the mullet. I mean, it would basically be like Danielle without really everything that's happening right now. So can we just trim Danielle? Can we just trim Danielle out? That would be great.
So Andy's like, hi, Lindsay. Did Ariana consult you on your revenge dress tonight? And she's like, no, she didn't. I also like to mention that after this show, I will be opening up a wrap shop full of all your favorites, like a chicken Caesar salad wrapped in a flatbread.
He had falafel. He had falafel. He only has himself to blame for having falafel. Okay, Lindsay. Okay, you're not in Chicago. Come on here.
Yeah, it's actually going to be more of a pita pocket place. It's going to be called I Pita the Man. I Pita the Fool.
There is something about pita. Lindsay, what was I going to say? Did you see the competing influencer ads of Carl and Lindsay?
Oh, I love that. That was great. That was honestly great. Carl and Kyle did some like weird like goldfish thing, right? Like where like Kyle like is like, hey, if you ever want goldfish, here they are. And he like tosses it to Carl, and Carl's like, hey, so goldfish, they're tasty and delicious. And they're, well, it takes two people really to enjoy goldfish. Like some of it's on me and some of it's on the goldfish.
I told those goldfish to put their weight on me and they slid right down my throat.
Hey, Carl, why are you hugging that bag of goldfish? Hold on. Squeeze me. Hug me. Harder, goldfish. Harder. Squeeze me.
Goldfish harder. Don't have arms. And that's the problem.
You used to like my hugs, goldfish.
And then Lindsay came out with one. I forget what his said. It was like passive aggressive. Jesus. But he is, I will say, Carl looks methy. He looks meth. He looks like a meth head.
He looks
dead-eyed. I don't know what's going on over there with if he's gotten on the Ozempic craze or what's going on. He looks terrible. He's probably sad. It's probably been a really rough season for him. But he looks dead-eyed. And so he's doing no one wants to see someone dead-eyed eating a goldfish. You know what I mean? I need more charisma from my goldfish enjoyers because goldfish is really good. And he got lucky enough to do Old Bay goldfish and it was just a fail. But then Lindsay came out with one.
Well, that is a good description of him. The Old Bay for Lindsay.
The Old Bay. Paige is like, wow, you could have just stopped it old for Lindsay. Just stop it old. It's funny that Lindsay didn't get that one because we've been calling Lindsay Old Bay ever since I got here. So.
Oh, look, here's Danielle's goldfish. I didn't know there even was a spice called Sad Bay, but I guess it exists.
So what was I gonna say? Okay, yeah. So Lindsay had one that came out a couple days later that was for Cheez-Its. And hers was like, this is a far superior chip than some people named Carl. Like it was so obviously
wish she had like a fish emoji in there. Yeah. Like
and she said something like, and this you know, this is being sold by someone you can tell by my completely natural original smile. And it seemed like something that she was dissing his big porcelain teeth. But Lindsay, those aren't your original teeth. Who the fuck are you kidding? Can we stop tooth shaming each other? Like, you can't throw dentures when you live in a porcelain tooth house.
Yeah, but the difference is that, like, Lindsay, she, like, has her angle. She looks great. She looks great in the picture. She's holding up her Cheez-It, which, by the way, like, how funny that this is the state of Bravo affairs, that we have competing, like, cheese cracker, you know, feuds happening. And she's eating it. She's, like, holding up, like, oh, and but it looks great. And then you have Carl's, where he has, like, this goldfish back, and like, ha, and it's, like, Cheshire Cat grin right in front of the camera, and you're like, whoa, I think I'm gonna go.
Yeah, Carl's just, he just doesn't have the whatever, you know, that spark, the it factory, or as the kids call it today, Riz. Yeah, Carl doesn't that's not no
funny. I was actually trying to land the Ritz account, but they said I didn't have enough Riz, so
I only had the tea.
It's tough.
So that's why I'm back at a tea company. So basically, Andy's like, okay, I want to say on behalf of America, I am so glad you losers are not getting married. And he's like, oh yeah, I think it was the right decision. Absolutely. The right decision that I'm going to deny making for the rest of this episode. So enjoy that.
How does the rest of the group feel? Amanda's like, everyone's like, yeah. And Amanda's like, yeah, we're like part of America, so we agree. And so Andy's like, well, Carl and Lindsay, you both just watched the finale and saw the breakup for the first time since it happened. I'm curious, what was that experience like for you? Was it as hilarious for you as it was for the rest of us? God, it was so good. She's like, I mean, I lived it firsthand, and like, it was just like reliving exactly how I experienced it in like real life, except this time my fingers were more orangey because I was eating Cheez-Its available in the grocery section, the cracker section of your grocery store.
Yeah, like, obviously, like, I think it was interesting to watch back from a different, like, lens, because it was just like a microcosm of, what our relationship was like and the challenges that we face in our relationship.
She's like, him talking over me, maybe? It's like, as you say, as you talk over him. I like that you talk under him and over him at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the communication and like some of those things, like, it's like really hard to rewatch. But like I said, it's like, I think it's important to like watch it and like just try to move forward and heal from it. Maybe have like a super tight hug that's like squeezed, like really feel those biceps squeezing around your waist, you know, something like that. That'd be great. Thanks.
Harder. Harder. Squeeze harder. Harder. Squeeze harder.
Squeeze harder.
You're squeezing harder.
I'm never going to get that. Honestly, that was just one of the creepiest things that ever happened on Summer House. I will never get out of my brain.
Carl has something every year. I feel like he's got something every year, but that hug me was gold. So,
you know, and for people who have been listening to our podcast, but like maybe weren't watching the first season of Summer House, like the reason why we're always like, push your weight on me is because in the very first season, when he was dating or like fucking around with Lauren Workus, there was one point where they were making out and he like wanted her to like lay on him while they were kissing. He was like, oh, put your weight on me, huh? And it was such a strange thing that like we have always joked about it since then. So it was so funny that it kind of came full circle with this hug moment where he's like, hug me. Tighter.
You're hugging me.
Tighter.
So Andy's like, so we're gonna get to it, but I'm curious, as you sat there for that final conversation, was it your intention in that moment that you were gonna break things off, Carl? And he's like, no, what? I walked into that apartment to get on the same page. I called the camera crew and filmed a pre-scene with Kyle and brought cameras back up after we had wrapped shooting because I just wanted to work things out. Shut the fuck up, Carl. Who was buying this?
Yeah. I just want to get on the same page with my fiance. I wanted my fiance to put her weight on my page. And that way they're, you know, because we've been fighting and we just had like a lot of conflict. And Lindsay's like, what the fuck? She's like laughing and she's like, he literally said he doesn't want to get married. And so he's like, yeah, I want to try to talk to her. And like, I'd hope that like maybe it would go differently. I'm like, she literally opened up that her end of the conversation with on a note of like, oh, I just realized like maybe I hadn't been as empathetic to you as I could have been, like that. And now he's acting like, oh yeah, well, she really started
it. Yeah, that's true. She did open it like, okay, look, I've thought about what you said in our last conversation and maybe you're right. I haven't been showing, I'm making you feel weaker than or whatever she was saying. I'm making you think I don't believe in you. Or whatever. Like, so yeah, he was not trying to work it out. But nice try, Carl. That's my thing with Carl. Why can't you just say, yeah, Well, I called the cameras back in because we're on a reality show and we've put you people through this for years now. And so I'm going to let you watch me dump her too.
I mean, why not? Like, it's called being a performer. All right. You're welcome.
A professional. I mean, he could have just said, no, yeah, I was going to break up with her and I wanted the cameras there so that way people could see it and that way she couldn't twist it. But Gabby says, well, actually, we just said, like, yeah, but, like, it wasn't, like, Lindsay didn't think it was going to be a breakup. Like, that's why she started by saying, I'm sorry. And Lindsay's like, yeah, not to mention, the second I woke up on Wednesday morning, because this was filmed on a Wednesday, she says, I walked straight into his room, the second bedroom. So they were already in separate rooms, yeah. Which is kind of wild. And Carl's like, yeah. And you said, why are we filming today? Yeah. And she's like, yeah. And I said, did you check your text? That's what I said. She doesn't even read my text. Can you believe it? She like didn't even look at my text to say that we're filming today so I could break up with you. Wow.
So, notice he's talking over her while she's just trying to say a very simple thing, which means he's done something wrong, right? So he's like,
and you said, are we filming today?
She goes, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Did you check your text? Do you know why they want to film with us today? And for 45 minutes, Carl straight popped off on me. And he's like, oh, yeah.
I was really, really upset, Lindsay. I was really, really upset.
What are you upset about?
What? What was he upset about?
You were the one who called the cameras and just went and shot a scene with Kyle in order to... It's like he's hyping himself up like he's about to go on the field to take a West reference.
Yeah. That was a good sports reference, Ronnie.
You like that?
So Lindsay's like, yeah, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, which is also funny because again, whenever Lindsay says that, I never really know because we've seen it several times this season where Carl's like, Lindsay, I really didn't like what you did. Why are you yelling at me? So she does do that too a little bit. But I do believe that he was being an asshole in this moment and he was not being sweet little boy Carl.
So he's like, oh, she goes, yeah. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs. He's like, no, I wasn't. She goes, yeah, you were. And he's like, you can't treat people like that, Lindsay. He just said when she said he was popping off, he goes, yeah, I was very angry. So now you weren't popping off or you just don't like the term. These two are exhausting. So basically they start sniping at each other and it's annoying to watch because frankly, we've seen them do it for years. We didn't see them do it last year because they were faking it last year. But before that, remember, they dated before and it was just this over and over and over and over.
Yeah. So Lindsay's basically like, so you don't want to own that you were screaming at me? And he's like, Lindsay, we were both upset. Like, you stuck your head in the sand. And she's like, yeah. And then you said, if you don't change, you can't stand responsibility, Lindsay. You can't do that. By the way, I still haven't gotten a job yet because it's just like a lot of pressure.
It's Lindsay's fault. It's ultimately Lindsay's fault. It takes two to get a job. And right now it's just me. So it's Lindsay's fault for misunderstanding me when I totally wasn't breaking up with her at all. So
also, this is when I realized, oh, Paige is coming with her normal reunion energy this year. I don't know what I was thinking to think she was going to come with anything else, but Carl was like telling off Lindsay about how she won't accept responsibility for anything. And Paige was just like giggling about Lindsay. I was like, oh, God, what happened? What happened for Paige to come in this openly hating Lindsay again? And I loved when we finally found out what it was because it's literally stupid. That was the best thing ever. It was so summer housey. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm excited because I've actually forgotten at this point what it was. So I'm excited to, like, as we get through our notes, to like come back to it and be delighted all over again.
To revisit your initial joy that you've forgotten. Okay, so they are fighting back and forth about who screamed at who and why they're not and how he didn't break up with her. And she's like, yeah, you did. You said you were screaming at me and you said, I'm this close to canceling the wedding. And he's like, no, I mean, I said, if we can't get on the same page. And she goes, but you said it 20 times. And he's like, oh, I was fighting for life in a relationship that I just wanted to work. I was fighting for my life.
Fighting for life.
Fighting for your life by, you know, you're the one who broke up. You know, you're the one who ended it, right? I was fighting for my life, so I ended it. So Andy's like, well, I'm glad you guys basically ended it, you know? And he's like, look how defensive you are now. He's like, well, you're happy now. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, but you're happy now. So you see what I did for you? You're happy now. She goes, yeah, but like I just outed what you did that morning. He goes, Lindsay, you've been dating someone since January. And Paige just rolls her eyes like, I hope everyone caught that I just rolled my eyes really big at this old hag. Okay, great. It's like, you have the apartment. I paid half the rent for like 9 months. Okay, I've been courteous.
And she's like, yeah, because you signed a lease. What else are you going to do? He goes, oh, what else do you want from me? I pay rent now, Linda. And she's like, yeah, and you signed a lease a month before you called off the wedding. Carl.
You idiot.
Literally, like, what's wrong with this person? It's just like one bad decision after another with this guy.
He's saying that he's courteous because he upheld his end of his contract over this apartment. He's like, well, I've done everything I'm legally bound to do. And I also paid over $125,000 for the wedding. I took care of the apartment and the wedding. You did not? Ha. Huh. She goes, you canceled the wedding. Yeah, but I told you I did not want to move forward with the wedding. You know, it takes two people to like want to move forward with the wedding. She's like, yeah, and you took care of the cancellation fees that you canceled, that you caused. So why are you saying all this stuff?
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Stupid fucking Carl. He's like, oh, yeah.
It was the best decision.
I paid everything. After I ruined it, I paid for it. Wow. Yeah. You break it, you buy it. Have you ever been to a store?
Yeah. She's like, you want a pat on the back for that? He's like, well, maybe a high five. Oh.
So Andy's like, all right. Because honestly, it's exhausting, right? I feel like even the audience, Andy, everyone's already exhausted. So he's like, okay, well, we have a lot to discuss. Let's move on. So Danielle's like, I need some limoncello. Danielle, this is still how you come into a reunion? Like, party, party. Anyone want to party? We should be partying right now. Why aren't we partying right now? Shots.
So now we go to another segment. A bro segment, everything. Andy is like, I gotta say, man, like, talking about the bros, okay? Was it the new energy that Wes and Jesse brought? Was it the old piles, Kyle and Carl? What? Guys, am I right? Who else jerked off to all four of these guys? Anyone? Just me?
So it's just like the bro segment, how like the bros love each other, bro. And so did Carl complained that there wasn't enough male energy. Did Jesse and West fix the problem? And he's like, oh, tenfold.
Kyle, who's the better big spoon, Amanda or West? Because there was that scene where Kyle woke up in the middle of the night basically being spooned by West, which was still great to see again. So Kyle's like, I mean, West for sure. And then Andy's like, yeah, I have to say it was very sweet when you woke up shooting with Wes. I definitely have saved that video on my laptop.
So Amanda apparently said something, I don't remember this, but she says something like Jesse humps and Wes fucks. And she's like, I take it back. I think that Jesse also fucks Kyle.
So Jesse's very proud. He makes a muscle. And so Andy's like, West, the viewers were immediately drawn to you, and Jesse, you're a little more of a slow burn. Why do you think that was? You know, Jesse was like, I thought everyone loved me out the gates also. Thanks.
And he's
thanks for
he's
that.
Like, oh, you know, West is like effortlessly cool, and I'm just like, oh, I am what I am, Andy. I am what I am. And Paige is like, yeah, you're effortlessly cool. And he's like, guys, stop. And I'm like, we call you by both of your names. No one's gonna say that West is cooler than Jesse Solomon. People didn't like you at first because you arrived like a fucking douchebag, okay? Which he cops to in the next little section.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I showed up on a few hours of sleep, and I immediately hit on like taking woman, and I was like hammer drunk. It's just like so funny because I don't even remember saying take a shot out of my dent, right? And then they show that clip I love of they have that weird banter where he's like, good for you. And Paige's like, oh, good for you. No, good for you. And then she does that thing with her mouth. Where she goes, because she's like so mad at him in that moment. Like she can't even formulate a word.
So he's like, I didn't get that impression. Did you? That she got mad at him for saying that? I thought she was like,
well, she was like, oh, this guy's going to try to. I thought like her face was like, oh, you're going to try to fuck with me. Because she's like, oh. They just show her like sort of like doing like a goldfish mouth.
Hey. Old bagel.
I love
fish.
It.
Every there was an old fish. Old bagel fish. I'm winning. I'm winning the influence wars.
It's original goldfish. Doesn't count.
So
original flavor.
Let's see here. So Jesse's talking about how he didn't even know if he was supposed to be putting on a character, if it was really reality, and then he realized it was really reality. And Paige is like, "Well, I'll tell you what's real. Is that I wasn't interested in you genuinely. That was real." It's like, okay. then why you gotta say it again? I don't know. I think everybody wants Jesse Solomon to want to make out with them at the very least, don't you? I mean, we all want to be picked. You're so cute, Jesse Solomon.
Yeah, I mean, he's super hot.
Just please stop thinking about yourself in restaurants. You've got to stop that. Yeah. Also, smile less when
and again, I'm okay with him smiling.
I don't like it. But I feel like he'd run you over and be like, hey, you know what? I ran you over. I know I did, but it's because you jumped in front of my car. And he'd still be smiling like that right in your face.
I just want him to have a more realistic view of his singing voice, which is that it's nice, but it's nothing more than nice.
I think you have to have a healthy delusion to be on these shows. He's definitely got it.
That's true.
He's definitely got it.
So Andy's like, Sierra, you're not someone who typically warms up to new people immediately. What was different about Wes? And she's like, I mean, he was funny. I love the funny guy. We've all seen that. I don't know. I don't know, whatever. She's like so over him, you know? And Wes like scrunches his face like he's like upset that it's not like a full-fledged endorsement.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she says, I got God a little bit.
Yeah, she says, I got God.
She goes, I got God, I think.
And so Wes makes a, but I'm just a little boy. He makes a face like that. And so Andy's like, wow, I don't know what that means. I got a boner right now looking at Wes pouting. That's cute. All right, let's move on. Carl, what was the status of your relationship with Kyle between last summer and this summer? Were you worried about coming back into the house with a person who's still got a mullet and can't read a room? He's like, well,
you know, last year was a really good moment on the stage for us because we really got a lot off our chest.
And then we see a clip of him holding hands with Lindsay last year at the reunion, and him and Lindsay against the world, and the world was Kyle. But now they're best friends.
And they hug, and he's like, yeah, I love this guy. I'm like, I want to find a way just to like share how I was feeling, but like I also give him grace and like try to just like work through it. Like that's what you gotta do, give people grace. And I guess some people can't give grace all the time, so like I guess I was kind of like finding grace. I was like hugging. I actually found my old DVD box set of Saving Grace. It was a great TV show from the early 2000s, and I just hugged it.
You know, like last year it was like Grace Under Fire, but like this year it was just like Saving Grace. It was so much grace, Andy. It's like really a lot of grace.
Such a great show.
Put your grace on me, Andy. Put your grace on me.
Yeah. Could have been Will and Grace, but that was just the obvious. Like Saving Grace is where I want to go.
Yeah,
it's too gay. Saving Grace is like a great show. I love it.
No, there's anything wrong with it. But, you know.
No, not nothing at all. Yeah. Huh. I love it. But like Saving Grace is, you know, it's emotional, you know. Holly Hunter. Like she's just the boss.
So then he's like, yo, but no, like I love this guy.
Well, Shira from DC says, after all the drama from last summer, do you feel like you were able to be honest with Carl, Kyle, about Lindsay, or was his relationship a topic you tried to avoid because it seemed like it was hard for you to keep your mouth shut? When did it ever seem like it was difficult for Kyle to keep his mouth shut? He's done nothing but insert himself and try and call Lindsay an asshole this entire season, as he has every other season. So when was this trying to keep his mouth shut?
Yeah, I think Kyle has weighed in quite a bit. And Kyle says he thinks he actually did a good job of keeping his mouth shut. And okay. He's like, yeah, even going back to prior summer when a lot of people were questioning the relationship, you know, I think where I put myself up for questionable behavior was just that moment in season 7 when I went off on Lindsay. And that was like during that game night where Kyle was like, she fucking sucks. So he's like, yeah, I put Carl in a really hard place. And despite the challenges that we faced really early on, like I did find myself like actually trying to suppress my feelings because I knew like a lot of people would have opinions. And I don't think I needed to be another person voicing them, even though that's exactly what I did.
So what about how Kyle asked Carl to officiate his wedding, but then the ultimate slap in the face, Carl asking Kyle to be a flower boy. So what about that? And Kyle's like, yeah, well, you know, I did not expect him to like reciprocate and like giving me like a mission critical part in his wedding, you know what I mean? That's not really what I wanted, you know? So I just want to make that really clear because I did insert myself into their relationship, and Paige is just cracking up over there, slapping.
Yeah, and I love Kyle inserting like corporate lingo into this. Well, it was a mission critical thing. I wasn't expecting it.
Pie chart, numbers, you know what I mean? Expectations of a quarter, I just didn't expect it.
as per your previous email, Andy, I really felt like, you know, I wanted to circle back to this and just bump this up to the gender.
FWD, Andy. FWD. So, and he's like, okay, you don't have to forward it to me. I read the subject header and I'm done with this conversation. So then, what's up with, so Kyle was like, I did expect maybe to be a groomsman, you know, like I didn't have to be best man or officiate, but like maybe something better. And Sierra's like, not flower boy, sorry. And then she's cracking up with Paige. And Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, like, I was just like, so am I in the wedding party? Do flower boys get to drink? Do flower boys get to hand the audience lover boys?
No. You were in the stupid party of one. That was you. So then Kyle was like, yeah, they say something about it being like an adult only resort or whatever. But anyway, Andy is
because they're saying, who said it? Jesse goes, yeah, but I guess the resort didn't have kids. So they had to ask the guys to be flower boys because who else would do it? There were no kids allowed.
But I also love this idea of like, well, we had to like bend the rules of a traditional flower boy, flower girl situation because the resort, you know, but they couldn't bend the rules of like just adding another person onto the groomsman or the bridal party or whatever you call it, groom's party. Like that's what I don't understand. Like they say, oh, you know, Carl has a lot of these buddies. He goes really deep. He's got like all these really good buddies. There wasn't any room left because it could be 9 and 9. Why? Add Kyle. Like, I don't understand why you just can't, like, why does it have to be 9 and 9? Why does it have to be even? Like, it makes no sense.
I think because Carl just had, like, a million people that he wanted to invite, and Lindsay has a certain number of friends. So she's like, I have 8. And he's like, but I need more. She's like, okay, I can invite this other girl, but listen, I add more people, I'm going to start adding people from fucking Pizza Beach. You know what I mean? Like, no, Carl, like we have to make a limit at some point. I think it ended at 9 where she was like, enough. And he's like, unfortunately, you know, Kyle wasn't number 10 or 11 or 13, really, or 19. Kyle was like number 73, actually.
Yeah, so Andy's like, well, Lindsay, do you agree that's like something of a demotion for Kyle? And she's like, I mean, that's between the two of them. Like, I mean, like, what I didn't like was this like whole moment. Like, Andy's like, you had nothing to say in it. She's like, no, like, I did not have anything to say about who Carl's groomsmen were, and he didn't have anything to say about who my bridesmaids were. He's like, so you had no opinion whatsoever, which is funny because when you watch the episode, Carl said this whole thing about like, well, I just know that, like, Lindsay wouldn't want Kyle to be a groomsman, and, like, she hasn't even said it, but I just, like, no, she wouldn't want it. And now she's like, I had no say in this whatsoever.
Right, and so she's trying to say, like, and I don't like that he was making it sound like I did, right, but they keep interrupting her. And he's like, okay, but if he had said, I want Kyle to be my best man, you would have said what? She goes, I would have said great, you know? She goes, actually, we agreed on a number, 9. He has 9, I have 9. And then Paige is like, oh my God. And Sierra's like, that's a lot. And you know, Paige was just like, well, she's really old and you don't know if like half of these people are going to die by the time the wedding comes. You have to have backups.
A bridesmaid for every decade you've been alive. So Lindsay's like, she's like, well, he has like lots of friends for years and years. And like when all was said and done, like all his groomsmen were taken by dudes that he's known for like a very long time. So I was like, okay, then what about Kyle and Luke and Andrea? Like we need to do something for the summer house guys. And then Paige makes a face like, gross. Who wants to do anything for the summer house guys?
So Andy goes, oh, so that was your idea, the flower boy thing. And she goes, well, yeah, it was. And he's saying it in an accusatory way. This reunion is so fucked up. He's like, oh, so it was your idea to make Kyle a flower boy. She's like, yeah, because if I didn't do something with them, they weren't going to be in the wedding at all. And he goes, yeah, but you just said you had nothing to do with it. Andy, you didn't let her finish a fucking sentence when she was trying to answer you before because you're trying to have some gotcha moment on a moment that's not a gotcha moment. She said that she had nothing to do with him not picking Kyle. That's what she said.
Exactly. She was basically saying,
oh, you Nimrod, you didn't include the guy who like at, like who has been giving like you a job for the past 3 years and whose wedding you officiated for. You're not going to do anything for this person right now.
Yeah.
So maybe you should, you know, like I totally was on Lindsay's side about
this. So she came up with for the summer house guys and now they're going to excoriate her for that. This, it's so fucked up. And everybody just sits there like, yeah, it's totally normal. Of course we're yelling at Lindsay about it. It just doesn't make any sense. Like Lindsay does so many things to get pissed off about. Why do they have to make stuff up? Because this is stupid.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, but I was saying that I had nothing to do with who he chose as a groomsman. When I said, okay, Carl, what happens when you have a groomsman that backs out or they have an emergency? Are you going to fill that spot with Kyle or Andrea or Luke? And he said, Andrea.
And Kyle
looks down.
Andrea comes before a cop.
Yeah, wow. Kyle looks down, like, kind of sad about it. And she goes, yeah, so it's, Carl goes to the confessionals and he lies and says, the reason I didn't have Kyle as a groomsman is Lindsay doesn't want him. And then he says, well, actually, then he even has a confessional where he says, well, actually, we didn't have that conversation. I mean, it's a complete fucking lie is what it is.
Yeah, it's just another example of Carl not really being able to like to stand in the decisions that he makes. He likes to talk like he does. He's like, oh, I own this now. I'm taking responsibility. But he really doesn't. He really takes like a pussy way out. So then Andy is like, well, where did you come up with that? And so Carl's like, well, so I have a spreadsheet like we were working off of. Like I listed groomsmen. Like Kyle was on that list. And I had like 11 people on that list. And like she didn't have as many. Like she just like, you know, the problem is this. When you're like a wretched witch of a human being, like it's hard to have friends. And like I get that for her. Like it takes two people to have a friendship. And she doesn't really understand that. So like we came up with this idea of like Flower Boy. And
he
like,
specifies it was like her idea. More details. He goes, when we came up with this, I mean, it was her idea. Because now she's a villain for coming up with a way to include your... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And he's like, so, but that's a leap in saying that she doesn't want Kyle to be a groomsman. He goes, well, I just personally felt that way. You know, it's like, she's like, but it wasn't true. We never had that conversation. Never.
But I felt it. Well, I felt it.
Oh, you felt it? Okay. Well, your feelings trump everything then. Feelings aren't facts, you fucking idiot. Who talks like that? Who does that? That is so fucking 2024. Stop it. Your feelings are not fucking fact. Keep your feelings in the car.
You know what? I can understand that you're like, I feel like, you know, even though my other half would want me to have anyone in my party, I know this person would make her uncomfortable. And it's more important for me that she is comfortable than this friendship. Like, I think you're allowed to have that feeling. You are allowed to do that. But then just own it. Own it, baby. Own it. Don't be like, oh, when asked about it on national TV, don't be like, well, I would have had him, but she makes her feel uncomfortable. I would have been like,
it because it's not how he felt. It's not that he thought, it's not that he was sticking up for Lindsay and he didn't want Kyle for that reason. He didn't want Kyle because he had other friends he had in front of Kyle, period. And then he didn't want
like
Kyle
Andrea.
To be, and he just admitted it. And he didn't want Kyle to be upset about it. So he's blamed Lindsay and said that it was Lindsay who chose that. He's just a fucking wuss. This guy is a fucking weakling. I can't with this person.
Yeah. So, so Lindsay's like, yeah, we never had that conversation. So Gabby is like, but you made it seem like the truth, you know? And Andy's like, yeah, she reacted unfavorably to Kyle being on that list. He's like, well, I don't exactly recall how she reacted to it. It's like, oh, okay, here we go.
You're lying again. And you're not even saying anything. And she's like, I didn't have any reaction. And he goes, but my conversation with Lindsay around the groomsmen, she goes, it was about numbers, Carl. We talked about numbers.
Well, I'd be lying if I...
Kyle's like, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little hurt by it, but like, I also had to take context because like, there's history. And I'm like, when you guys were making some of these decisions, that was still in flux.
And Amanda's like, yeah, it would have been very understandable if Lindsay did say, no, I don't want Kyle standing up there with us because of the way that he's behaved towards her. So like, even if you did say it, Lindsay, notice I'm being nice to Lindsay, which means I'm really trying to throw Lindsay under the bus by getting her to admit that it was really her decision this whole fucking time. Come on, get out of here, guys. Let it go. Drop it. Carl didn't like
you.
He doesn't want you in his wedding. He uses you for what you can give him, just like he uses everybody else in his life, okay? When it comes down to it, he'll take your money, but he doesn't want you and your fucking mullet getting wasted and being an idiot at his wedding. That's it.
So, well, that's it, Kai. So Andy's like, Andy's like, well, there's a large contingent of people, fans of the show, mothers of perhaps Carl, who say, think, Carl, that you're afraid of Lindsay. I'm just curious, show of hands, who thinks that Carl was afraid of Lindsay? Of course, everyone raises their
hand. Literally everybody.
Carl raises
his hand. Lindsay raises her
Carl
hand.
Carl does his last.
Andy raises his hand. I raised my
Carl
hand.
Carl only raised his hand
I
once.
I turned around. The plane was raising their hands. Everybody on the plane I was watching, I was raising their hand.
I know. Carl only raised his hand when he saw it was safe for him to raise his hand, which, of course, is so Carl. And he's like, all right. All right. Who thinks Carl is afraid of Lindsay? Okay. Who here thinks that Carl is afraid of a deer walking around in the forest? Everyone raises their hand again. Well, it's just not like that deer has a lot of choices to make. And, like, I just don't want to get in the way.
Oh, that deer didn't want me to invite Carl to my wedding. So, prove it. I felt it. I felt it. I felt it, deer.
Yeah, I just feel like Bambi has made some choices. And, like, if I don't support them, then, like, I'm the bad guy. So, I'm just, like, saying.
But the fact that he still won't just say, I'm sorry, Kyle. We were in a weird place. Even though he's just been proven to me a fucking liar.
It was shitty. It was shitty of Carl, by the way. I always thought that flower boy thing was shitty. And yeah, that he couldn't be like, you know what? I regret it. And you should have been like a full-fledged groomsman. He just is like, yeah, well, I was just like, you know, she made me do it. So what can I say? She and the deer got together and said, this is who your flower boy is. So fine.
Yeah. And Lindsay's like, well, I think he's mostly afraid of tough conversations. And he's like, I'm not afraid of tough conversations. I think what I've struggled with a lot in my life is that I'm a people pleaser. Stop the cameras. Just pause. Name one fucking person in 8 years that you've ever made an effort to please on this show. Ever. Name one. You've never pleased one person. You've never made an effort to please one single fucking person but yourself. Who?
You may have forgot that during the pandemic, I was the one who always ordered tacos for everyone on Postmates.
Fucking guy.
He has fucked over every fucking person he's been friends with on this show or dated on this show. You've treated every woman you've been with on this show like utter fucking garbage. You've never done anything good for anybody else. The way he treated Jules was beyond cruel.
I was just about to say Jules.
You've never
Jules,
done
that was
shit.
One of the
people who supported you, you've done nothing but stab them in the back and try to villainize them. And I'm not even talking about Lindsay. I'm talking about Kyle. At this point, you're a monster. You've never been nice to anybody or cared about anybody else on this show but your fucking self. Name one person you've ever people pleased. People who say, I'm just a person who pleases people. That's all I care about is pleasing others, are the biggest fucking selfish morons in the world, and they never please anybody.
I'm just a people pleaser.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I think saying that you're a people pleaser is just you putting a nice spin on the fact of saying, like, I am overly concerned with what people think about me. That's what it is, right? Like, that's like, oh, I just want to make people happy. I do things for other people because, not for other people, but, like, I don't follow my own instincts. I just try to, like, do things that way I don't get in trouble. I think that's what that being a people pleaser usually translates into. So he's like, yeah, I struggle with, like, really expressing how I'm feeling and, like, also, like, trying to protect or, like, not hurt her. And, like, I just really struggle with that. I was like, really, you don't say. Let's get back to you trying to talk about, like, how this relationship went wrong. Well, I was trying to keep my side of the street clean, and, like, it takes two people. And, like, you know, it's just, like, it's really hard. Like, it's like I have, like, a bicycle and she has, like, a car. And, like, you know, I totally support cars. Four wheels is great. But, like, sometimes you want two wheels. And, like, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, get off the road. Am I right? Why the chicken cross the road? It's really up to the chicken. Not my place to say. The chicken can do what it wants. I personally would not have crossed the road. I keep my side of the road clean, so I don't know why the chicken's leaving. Anyway, so that's pretty much
the chicken crossed the road because I crossed the road first and the chicken was trying to murder me. So it's like the chicken was trying to push me into traffic. And that's why I crossed the road. Sorry, I didn't say that about the chicken. Hey, it's just how I felt. It's just how I felt. It's what I felt the chicken wanted. So,
hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Well, it could be a variety of people. I don't want to really say either way. Like, it could be me, but it could also be Lindsay. And, like, it's really hard. It's, like, really on both of us to be both at the door and be present in our relationship at the door. And, like, it's just, like, it's a lot of pressure to open up to be at a door. And it's, like, I just need a little softness and tenderness at the doorway, okay?
So he's like, I have so much respect for Lindsay, but, you know, sometimes with our communication, it was fearful of her, you know? And Andy goes, yeah, Lindsay, you don't seem like a fun person to argue with. How does Carl seem like a fun person? He gets buttonized like the fucking mom from Coraline. He's terrifying, that guy. He gets a flash of anger and it's all over. And so Lindsay's like, well, who is fun to argue with? By the way, Lindsay, you are a terrorist to argue with, though. She is scary. And Paige is like, I feel like I'm pretty fun to argue with.
At least I'm, like, fashionable when you argue with me.
I don't think anybody who's argued with you would ever consider you fun to argue with. You eviscerate them. Hilariously. It's fun to watch you argue with people, but I certainly wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Literally no one has ever beaten Paige in an argument. I'm going to say that. I don't think I've ever seen Paige lose an argument.
She has never lost. Ever. Even when she's completely wrong. Like, even... I didn't agree with her. I've never agreed with Paige. Really? This is, I think, the first season where I've been, like, completely on Paige's side for everything that's happened this season. But usually at least half the season I'm not on her side. And I still think she's right. Even when I don't agree with her, I'm like, she won that argument.
Yeah. Ron is like, I'm moving to New York now. So you're going to move to New York.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We Forever Love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.